and his word.
Amen.
But I found it amusing to read a story, and I understand again what I'm saying, and somewhat that you may think, well, this is kind of victory. But I began to read some of a certain article, and there was a bunch in the BART system. Maybe some of you read this in the BART system over in Oakland. There was a bunch of Nazi swastikas being painted on the subway and all over the place, a bunch of racist stuff, and they could never catch the individual on camera. But one time they finally caught him on camera. And he was spray painting the whole entire subway with everything a white supremacist stuff. And lo and behold, the man that was doing it was a black man. They caught him on camera. And so it didn't fit the agenda, so it doesn't make the mainstream media. Because the mainstream media wants to divide race. The mainstream media wants to divide and segregate people. But I'm going to tell you, the gospel wants to bring people together. The gospel wants to give us a common goal. The gospel, amen, wants to bring people together with Jesus Christ. Amen. Just give you that example of the craziness of the world in which we are living. Amen. We ask people all the time, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do? How does this outfit look? Do I look fat? Don't ever answer that question. Don't ever answer that question. Plead the fifth. No comment. Amen. Because you'll never say the right thing. Because if you say, no, that doesn't make you look fat, they go, you're lying. Right? And if you say, that makes you look fat, you go, oh, you think I'm fat, huh? You can't win. Keep your mouth shut. That's a word of wisdom.
Amen.
How many have been in a restaurant and said, well, what are you going to order? What does it matter what they're going to order? You're not going to eat. Your taste buds are different today than theirs are. Who cares what they're going to eat? Why would that? What are you going to eat? Who cares what they're going to eat? You got to decide for you.
Right.
They go, oh, I'm going to have fried chicken. Oh, that sounds disgusting. Then why did you ask me? It would appear that many of us are incapable of making decisions on our own. Many of these types of decisions, that's obviously, that I'm just mentioning, are inconsequential. Okay, but I'm giving you some examples to motivate your mind and to get you to think. Amen. So many of these are inconsequential. And so again, I'm asking you, please don't confuse the issue and yet understand that decision making is very important and how it affects our lives. The scripture doesn't say that in the multitude of counsel there is safety. Again, not to confuse yourself with public opinion and spiritual counsel. It's important for us to understand that one decision can change your life. A decision can change your outlook. A decision can change the course. A decision where you're sitting now can change by just getting up and moving. The decision that I don't like my job can change by saying, I'm going to go find another one. Again, the scripture that we read this morning earlier on was multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. Amen. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This world is stuck between two opinions, just like in the days of Elijah. Elijah was speaking here. Excuse me, in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long long hold ye between two opinions? Why can't you make up your mind? How long are you going to be sitting here contemplating and trying to make a decision? If the Lord be God, follow him. Very simple. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Different scenario than Joshua. All the people said, God forbid we follow after the gods of our fathers. We will serve the Lord. Here's another scenario that they were being challenged and asked, what are you going to do today? What is your problem of lingering, of waiting to make a decision who you're going to serve? And the people didn't answer him a word. They were still quiet. They were still mute. Will you, I'm asking you as an individual, will you be silent like they were? Will you have no voice to say, I've made my decision? Mm-hmm. Will you be the one that says, God, no God. God, no God. You see, this is the reason why there's so much trouble in the world today. This is the reason why people are starving today. This is the reason why the world is at war today. This is the reason for so much unsensible, horrible, and horrific crimes being committed. Too many want to say that there is no God because of all the chaos in the world. I beg to differ. I beg to differ with you. The reason really is because nobody's making a choice to serve the Lord.
Right.
Nobody's making a commitment and a decision to say, I will follow after the precepts and the testimonies of God. The people haven't made up their mind to live for God, nor have they lived. Are they living according to His Word? Thus, they keep themselves forever separated from real joy, from real peace, and real contentment. So all the chaos of people's lives is not because of their situation isn't good enough and it needs to improve. It has to do with your choices of living or not living for God. Some may say, well, I made a choice to live for God. Really? Are your actions proving or living that out? Does your life, does your character, do the things that you produce in your life prove that you have made that decision? I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like going to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? That's the best place for a hypocrite to be. Because those people that are hypocrites are trying to not be hypocritical anymore.
Right.
They're working on it. That's why I said that choice can be a life-changing experience. Or should I really say, a life that is constantly changing.
Right.
Because it doesn't happen overnight, friends.
Right.
It nothing happens overnight, but it's a process of time. And I am not the man that I was a year ago. I'm not the man that I was 5 years ago. I'm not.
Right.
There's constantly things God is working in my life. There's constantly places that God is revealing to me in my life, in my attitude, in my character, in my actions, and so many other things. And if we would be honest with ourselves, we would say, you're right. The longer that I do live for God, it's a constant change. And there's some things in my life, there's some folks here today that in your life, you've refused to change some things. And thus you're the same as you were 5 years ago because you say, hey, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I had that very thing said to me yesterday. There's nothing wrong with me. And until you can see yourself for really who you are, you can never really change.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you never get real honest with yourself, you can never really make a positive change in your life. You've got to be honest with who's in the mirror.
Right.
Ooh. We were playing apples to apples the other day, and what was it? I can't remember the one, but anyways, I threw a mirror in there, and they all started laughing. Yeah, that could be a scary sight. I think it was horrifying, was the word. It was horrifying. And I threw in their mirror when they saw that.
Yeah, that could be horrifying. A mirror could be horrifying, couldn't it? Yeah. The fact of the matter is the Bible even tells us that we can look in a mirror and not change who we are, and it does us no good. You may as well throw the mirror away. Why look at it if you're not going to change?
Right.
Why look in the mirror and examine yourself if you're not going to make the necessary changes? You see, sin has separated us from God from the very beginning. And it was all a choice. As Eve began to be swayed and manipulated to reach out and touch that piece of fruit and pull it off of that tree and begin to eat, it was all a choice. Remember, at that particular time, everything was in perfect harmony. It's your choices that are keeping your life in chaos and upheaval. It's choices, it's decisions that you make. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that you're listening very intently. The oldest sin in the Bible is blaming someone else. The oldest sin in the Bible is blaming somebody else. Adam, where art thou? God, it was the woman that you gave me. I wish there had been some more dialogue. This is what I would have said. Excuse me? I'm not talking to Eve. Hello? I didn't say, Eve, where art thou? I said, Adam! Are you deaf? Thank God that I'm not God. But can you imagine? He hardly gets out of the question. He said, well, we're in the garden, and we realize we're naked, and it's the woman that you gave me. It's her fault. And that's what we do even today. And as soon as he threw her under the bus, and the bus ran over her, she jumps up and said, hold on a second, buddy. It was the serpent that made me do it. And we've been living in the same vicious cycle again and again and again. Because most of us here have issues. Most of us here,
right?
Except for me. Well, that's what some of you said. Well, everybody else does, but I don't. Because it's so common for us to say, oh yeah, I know they got issues and they got issues and they got it. And everybody else has got an issue because you can see their issue as plain as day, but you can't see your own. The fact of the matter is we have been guilty to the first and foremost sin from the very beginning is to point your finger at everybody else instead of saying, yes, sir.
That's right.
You wanted to talk to me? Yeah. I did eat. And no, it's not her fault. I took it from her hand. And I put it to my mouth. She didn't shove it in my face. She didn't force me to swallow and eat it or anything like that. She didn't. No, God, it's really, I did. Can you imagine what kind of world this would be if we all, made the decision to say, you know what? I got to take responsibility. It's not my wife. It's not my children. It's not my job. It's not my pastor.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, my pastor's just against me. He just don't love me. He just don't care. He just doesn't understand. But that's why I think of you often. And when I lay down at night before I go to bed, I talk about some of you even to my wife. So we need to really pray for this person. I'm afraid of this decision that they're making. I wake up in the middle of the night with you on my mind. I wake up in the morning with some of you on my mind. Some of you more times than others because of the place of life where you're at and making decisions that you're making. You're ever present in my mind and I'm ever present praying for you. And you just really can't understand. You really don't know just how much I do pray and just how much I do care about the decisions that you make. You see, we can blame it on whatever we want to blame it on, but it will come down to you making the decision. As I try to quickly move on here, Psalms 25, verse 10 and 12 says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimony." All the paths of God are merciful and true to those that keep His covenant and His testimony. "For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." I understand my trespass, my iniquity, my faults and my failures, God. I'm going to take responsibility for all of them. And then verse 12 said, "What man is he that feareth?" Again, that word "feareth" is revere or honor. What man is he that will honor and revere the Lord? Who is that man? It is a man. "Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." When we honor and revere, when we respect God, His word, His position on every issue of life, He will direct and guide our path in the choices that we shall choose. Not that you've already chosen, but in the way that you're going, if you keep God as number one and as the priority in your life, as you walk, He's going to give you the wisdom for the right path before you choose, so your foot will not slip. You won't make a bad decision. This verse lets us know that when we honor and love God, He begins to teach us the right paths for our lives. If you've made too many wrong choices in your life, it may be because you've had some bad teaching or you're listening to the wrong stuff. There are choices to be made in this world, and it's not just what you wear, what you eat, and where you go. You have to decide what you're going to do about God. You have to decide what you're going to do about God. Many of us even here today have been wrestling with the conversation for most of our life, even ignoring it from time to time. God has been knocking at your heart's door for as long as you can remember, but still you have not decided what to do about God. You're still wondering if He is real. You're still wondering if He's true. You still got questions about God. Your decisions that you've made are not based off of living for God and His will. They're based off of a better job. They're based off of money. They're based off of a better house, a better life, a better education. But God is not first and foremost. And it is a tragedy when I see folks make a decision based off of their flesh and their carnal man and not God. It's a tragedy because it never ends up good. It never ends up right.
Right.
Amen.
Because our carnal man, our carnal nature knows not the way of God. And most of you know that for the most part, I try to be very conscientious and not say, "No, don't do that." I use words like, "I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know if I'd do that." Some of you say, "Well, why can't you just tell me no?" Well, it's got to be your choice. And when you make that choice, it changes the dynamic of your life completely. John 3 and verse 5 said, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Could a single decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus change your situation forever? Could a single decision to submit your life to the moving of the Holy Ghost continually make a massive change in every decision you make? You see, being baptized is not just something you check off your list. First of all, you've got to be baptized right.
Right.
It must be in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No other name remits sins.
Right.
The scripture still said, neither is there salvation in any other. In any other name, period. And so titles are not going to get you saved. Well, I did that when I was a kid. I don't care if you did it when you were a kid.
Right. Yeah. Right.
If it wasn't done in the name of Jesus, it wasn't done right.
Right.
And you want to be right. Why would you gamble with your salvation?
Right, right.
Why would you gamble? Why would you take the dice and go ahead and roll it and say, well, you know, I did it when I was a kid and it was in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or... Matter of fact, I don't even remember what it was. So I just roll the dice and take my chances. Really? The Bible said that the blood and the name has to be applied to your life. And it is applied through baptism.
That's
in Jesus'
right.
name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It is applied there. Would you really want to take a chance on your eternity? Why don't you make the choice today? Some of us say, well, I got the Holy Ghost back in 1954. Great.
1954.
You need it in 1990 and 1999, and you needed it in the year 2000, and you needed it in 2007. Matter of fact, you need it on November 26th at 11:19. That's in 1 minute.
Yeah.
2000. You need it all the time.
Amen.
You need to make a decision to be full of the Holy Ghost all the time. Don't get in the habit of your salvation. Okay, well, I marked that off. I don't lie anymore. I got baptized. I spoke in tongues once. Okay, I must be okay. No, you're not. If you're not continually changing and getting closer to God, become...
Yes, amen, amen.
You've got to make some choices and some decisions. If God is not interested in just a one... Hey, I'm going to tell you what it's like. You get the Holy Ghost one time, you're baptized in Jesus' name one time, and that's all. And you don't have any other relationship after that. You know what it is? You just hooked up for a night.
That's right.
You just had a one-night stand.
Yep. That's true.
Come on, that's language we understand.
Yeah.
That's language you know. And everybody's like, ugh, one night stand, just a fling for one night. But that's really what you do with God, is you get a relationship for one night and you say, okay, that was good enough. No, it's not. God is looking for a lasting relationship. He's looking for an intimate relationship with you. He's looking to grow with you and you with Him. He wants relationship with you today. But it's a choice, because He's a gentleman, and He's not going to kick down your door. He's not going to force something upon you that you're not willing to have and nurture.
Amen.
Could it change the direction you're going today? I believe it could. You see, some of us have been satisfied with just praying and getting full of the Holy Ghost on Sunday. But let me tell you, friend, that's a poor decision. I said, that's a poor decision to just make Jesus number one on Sunday. You've got to make Him number one every day of the week, all day of the week. If He's going to lead and guide your footsteps in the path that you should go, you're not going to make it with just an every once in a while relationship. And I would venture to say that every single one of us has a deep desire to have a relationship that's real, that's true, that's deep, that's meaningful.
Amen.
But it always takes two to have such a relationship.
relationship.
Right.
It's going to take you being honest with God and you two getting together often.
Yes, amen.
Could it cause your life to have greater purpose? I believe it could. Could it cause you to find the direction that you've always been searching for? I believe it could. Could it give you the meaning that you have so desperately been in search of? I believe it could. As a matter of fact, I stand here today as a living witness that this type of lifestyle of living for God, of seeking Him day in and day out, is phenomenally more rich than you can even begin to imagine. Oh, the pain, because I've seen it on people before that only live from Sunday to Sunday and they don't have a dedication and they're miserable all week long and they come to the house of God and they feel refreshed and they think that it's going to be okay, but Monday comes along and it's a drudgery. The rest of the week is just slog through the rest of the week. It doesn't have to be a life like that.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a life like that. But hey, we can always deal with that some other day, right? We can always make that decision later, right? We've got time. What's a big hurry? Why do you put so much pressure on me to make a decision today, preacher? Because today is the day that the Lord is near.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the valley of decision.
Yes.
Oh, surely I can wait for another day. Really? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Girls, get ready. Says, behold, now is it, you see, this is relative. When that Bible said now, and even though it was written 2,000 years ago, now still means
now.
Am I all messed up?
No. Now
means now, whether it's written 2,000 years ago, or whether it's written 5 minutes ago, or whether I'm just preaching it right now. It said, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It didn't say 2,000 years ago it was the time of salvation. It said now. I know many of us, we have children, and we've told our kids, go grab this, or go do this. And they... Hey, did you hear me? Yeah, I'm doing this. No! Do it
now.
No. What you're doing is not as important as what I just asked you to do.
Right.
And we all understand that concept when it comes to parenting. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to God, because hold on a second. No. Your education isn't as important as this. Your job isn't as important
right. As
this. I understand you want to make more money in it. And I understand you got all the right reasons. I understand. But it's not as important as.
That's true.
No. Don't make that decision. Because that's not as important as this decision.